And so, and he gives us another example in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that, you know, that grand chapter on the resurrection and that sort of thing, right? And the 500 witnesses and that sort of thing. He says that, you know, he's often asked his students to paraphrase Paul's argument for the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. And he says that they often mention the post-resurrection appearances. There it is, right? So we can believe in the resurrection because of the post-resurrection appearances to these 500 witnesses. So there's the evidence, right?
Right.
He says, notice, he says that the main thrust, though, of the chapter and of the argument is perfectly clear from the structure and content of the passage. You should, he says, believe in the resurrection because it's part of the apostolic preaching. Mm-hmm. So they preach the word of God, and the word of God is evidence for us. And so they're preaching as it aligns with the word of God and what God has to say. That is the evidence, right? So, you know, he's going to say, yes, the you can rely on the 500 witnesses and that sort of thing, but that kind of stuff may fail. But it's the apostolic preaching, the eternal word of God, that is the evidence. And so, again, just like for Abraham, God's word is the evidence. And he's making the point here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the preaching, the apostolic preaching, brings its own evidence. It is its evidence. It's sufficient to believe based on the trust that we have in the word of God, right? Otherwise, you know, what is Christianity all about? It's about trusting that God's who he is and what he said he would do and what he's done in our lives. We trust him.
Right.
And that trust is the evidence. Yeah. Trusting his word, his word. Not what we do, but what he says.
Yeah. And the trust aspect is important, not solely in the resurrection, but in what the resurrection accomplishes, which is the removal of our sin. You know, who do we trust in this to take away, to remove our sin, and then on top of that, to bestow godly righteousness upon us? And so that's the trust. It's the you know, a high level of evidence that here's a person that says I am both fully God and fully man, and I'm going to show you this by raising myself from the dead. But then, okay, he did that. That's great. But then when he says, I have therefore paid for your sins, if you, you know, put your full trust in me, that's the big trust. That's the, you know, the going past your eyes and fully kind of turning over your entire life so that the atonement portion is what we kind of ultimately have faith in, because we need to trust God at his word, because when we get to the end, that's all we're going to have is that portion.
Yeah. And to a certain extent, it works the same way in our relationships, right? If, let's say, a friend is over and I'm getting ready to take out the trash, and my wife says, no, you don't need to, I've already taken out the trash. And so I sit back down and my friend says, well, aren't you going to check? You need some evidence, right? No, she said she did it. That is the evidence.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, what she said is the evidence, and I trust what she says.
Yeah.
And so he's making the point here, the same, what God says is the evidence, right? God's word is the evidence for us, and it's sufficient. Mm-hmm. He says, both for Abraham in terms of what God said and in terms of the apostolic preaching in 1 Corinthians 15.
Yeah. And we do this in military and paramilitary organizations too. I trust the leaders above me because, and you know, we can get in that discussion, but we can trust the leaders above me in a perfect world because they might have access to information that I don't know about right now, and that I don't need to know about it, or you know, why are we going you know, marching towards the swamp when the better path is, you know, on this dry land right here. Well, that's because the tanks are over there, and the muddy ground is the spot where the tank treads can't move. And so I'm moving you around here, but I don't have enough time to tell you, okay, let me sit down. Let's rationalize, discuss this. And so here, God swears by himself and says, I'm the most ultimate perfect being. All rationality flows from me. All trustworthiness can be found in me. Do these things. Now, sometimes the weird parts are when he tells us why he's going to do things. And so yeah, that's the the biggest surprise. We do want that. We do like that. But ultimately, God doesn't have to provide us that that excuse just based on solely who he is.
Yeah.
All right. So going back to our Corinthians passage, Paul is telling the Corinthians that they came to faith through his preaching, which includes the preaching of the resurrection. The ultimate proof, the ultimate evidence, is the word of God. Eyewitnesses are important, but they die and memories of them fade. Only if their testimony is preserved in God's written word will that testimony have continuing value down through the history of the world.
Right. So you talk about valuing the word of God and making it your final authority. Boy, what a statement on the final authority, right, on God's word as the final authority, right? Right. What God says is authoritative, and it becomes evidence, sufficient evidence in and of itself. A tremendous statement here. Mm-hmm. on the validity and trustworthiness of the word of God. And so he says to trust God's word as ultimate evidence is not to deny, obviously, the importance of reasons, right? God does not always, as you mentioned here, as you were suggesting, reveal the reasons for what he says and does, but as wise and true and faithful God, and as the very standard of rationality, he always has a reason, whether or not he reveals it to us. He has one, but he doesn't have to reveal it, but we can trust it, right? And so ultimate evidence is the trustworthy word of God. Mm-hmm. Tremendous statement on the authority of Scripture.
Right. So Scripture often contains its own reasons for the things it says. And just as its truth are authoritative, so also are its reasons. We have an obligation not only to believe scriptural truths, but also to believe it for scriptural reasons. That makes sense. Showing biblical reasons for biblical truth is an important part of apologetics. And it's one of the kind of the benefits that presuppositional apologetics has is we say this is our ultimate authority. We derive our reasons and our truth from that. And we proclaim those things. And that's not to say that we don't value evidence or, going to witnesses, going to the science, going to reason and logic and morality. But we draw our ultimate response to those things that the general revelation produces from our observing of them. And we put them through the lens of the special revelation.
Yeah, exactly.